in South America, one of the most stable and really a place you just, that was like heaven on earth, was Uruguay, you know? And they turned it into socialism, and everybody's guaranteed a job by the government, and they killed their economy, you know? One of the problems we've had is that we take all this foreign aid money we've sent down there. We've sent billions of dollars, but every time we sent a loan, we had to send a group of Harvard professors to tell them how they spend the money. So we established a state-owned steel mill or a state-owned power company, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, a government-run enterprise never does make it, see? So then they can't pay the money back, so in order to make the loan good, they kill the economy further by raking off the private sector, milking them down in order to pay off the public sector debt. Mm-hmm. It's public sector debt that's got Mexico in trouble. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine with all that oil and they're in trouble?
Well, my understanding of it, now, you know, and I don't have anything like the knowledge you have, is that there was a lot of taken off by the former president for his own personal...
Well, they've all done it, see, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, this was, our liberal media don't want to talk about things like that, but anyway, that was in two articles I read about. One of the head of the oil workers union in Mexico was caught two or three times flying into Las Vegas in a private jet, dropping $1 million a night. You know, big wheel, see? Mm-hmm. You know, all those things, and those are things I can't change.
No, none of us can, unfortunately.
But, I mean, I worry about it. And my wife used to tell me, she said, if you spend as much time worrying about our business as you did world affairs, you'd be the world's richest man.
But the thing is, I think you have to worry about world affairs.
And I got a kick out of somebody in the political arena the other day who was calling me on the phone to see what I thought about something. And I said, well, I'm waiting for somebody to run for office that will stop this discrimination. I'm against discrimination. Mm-hmm. He knows me, and he said, I'm going to have to ask, but I know the needle's out. You're fixing to put the needle in me, you know? I said, I want all of our good public servants to be treated just like the private sector that pays the taxes that pay their wages. Mm-hmm. He said, how's that? I said, they work till they're 65, and then they can draw their Social Security.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you ever thought about this or not, but this, here in the city of Fairbanks, this retirement program that we got is going to eat this town alive.
Oh, I believe it.
Well, here's a good example. Oh, what, 4 years ago, and I was, frankly, quote me on some of this, but anyway, one of our employees has been with us about 8 years as a mechanic, and I, frankly, was a little glad to see him go. It wasn't a bad mechanic, a good one. Mm-hmm. An attitude problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's very important.
Yeah, everything, yeah.
So anyway, he got a chance to go to work for the city, and he can use the time he spent years ago in the service to go toward his retirement. And he only has to work 7 years for the city, and he can retire with a full retirement. Now that is absolutely ridiculous. I just went into something, and this is something else I have to stop, is little things. If there's something big goes wrong down my place, I can reach a decision in a minute.
The little things that we're in.
And I've read this in something about older people. As you get older, the little things upset you more.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realize it more now with my mother. I mean, we have a thing that we have jointly owned, the three of us, my mother, my sister, and I. And she's always owned me about little trivia things that I haven't done. That's the important things I have done. This little trivia thing is not important. But anyway, I got real upset. I just lost my mother-in-law. Well, that's certainly hated to lose her. But I have to be honest with myself, I wasn't close like most guys with their mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, we go to outside to one of these dealer showings, and my wife and I, and when the showing was all over, why, she'd take a plane to Tucson and spend a week with her mother, and maybe I'd fly to Oklahoma and see my mother, and we'd meet back here or Seattle.
Sounds like a good arrangement, yeah.
So, you know, after my wife died, then I did go by there twice a year to see how she was doing, mainly because the house that she lived in was our house. And she always wanted something changed or done, and some things she wanted changed I wouldn't do because it was going to ruin the house.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, I know they're real important. I had to come by there. But anyway, she passed away, and I had to go down to the funeral, of course, and I had to put this house in mothballs. I have a brother-in-law, my wife had a sister, and he's typical of this retirement thing. He put his 20 years in the service. He lacks 3 years having his retirement now with the Postal Service. 2 years, I guess, now. Then when he gets that, he wants to go get the, either to go to work for the state of Louisiana and get a state retirement, see?
Mm-hmm.
He's still under 55. Then he'll have the state of Louisiana, they live in Louisiana, and he'll have the state of Louisiana and the Postal Service and the military. He'll have 3 retirements, see what I mean?
Yeah, I know
that too. And so I, like this guy, I told him, I said, you know, I'm waiting for trying to run for office that's against discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we treat the public employee just like the one out here that's working down here in that store. He pays Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
When he's 65, he can draw it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And I personally...
But anyway, I get too concerned about those things.
Well,
and
tell
I,
me how...
And I'm a little radical in some ways. I'm a firm believer that history will not be written in my time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that is starting to come out now a little bit, but it still won't all happen in my lifetime. But I still think when you get down the history book 50 years from now, that Jimmy Carter will be classified as a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He was not a country dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, you know, so yeah.
But anyway, I spend too much time worrying about things like that, and I...
Well, tell me where you started off in life. Where were you born?
Well, I was born in a place called Grand Saline, Texas.
Grand
Saline, GrandSaline,
mm-hmm.
Grand Saline, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Van Zandt County, about 65 miles from Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I know that. I just started.
And I was raised in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And not because of brains, because I was gifted by God with a considerable skill with these hands. When I graduated from high school, I had been offered a job in Brazil with the Peabody Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that was they were a distributor for General Motors products.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there and I worked for him for years, and then GM took over their own distribution, not mm-hmm. through all lawsuits, so they just sat down across the long table and reached an agreement, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fine man. I shuttled up here back and forth. I used to get disgusted with it and come up here, but they'd always get me back.
When you say come up here, you mean to Alaska? No.
Yeah. And then in 1953, there was a change in government in Venezuela that would made it not untenable, but not, well, too much to live there. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we left there, and I came here to look it over. And I think I might have liked a lot of Alaskans. I got in debt so deep I couldn't leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't have any regrets, and I don't have any regrets having came here, you know. And I could see a future up here. The reason I came, it wasn't here when I got here. And the thing I could see was, and I, believe it or not, in Venezuela, they have a very good school of mines. And they have also some... a lot of knowledge of where minerals are in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people I met, and got to know, they had all been educated in American universities, all spoke English, and I never did handle another language well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never well. But I could get along, but that's it. I mean, of course, then we, but I, the at that time and still the known mineral wealth here. I didn't foresee the environmental movement.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things I say about some of these groups, I have to recognize, like, that there is fine people, belong to the Sierra Club and the Wilderness Society, all of it. There's some fine people. But the basic concept at the top of the Sierra Club and all your environmental movements and the American people someday must realize this, or we're going to, it ain't going to be good, is that the sole purpose at the very top level of your all your consumer advocate groups and your environmental groups is not to have pure air and pure water. The purpose is to stop this economic system in its tracks.
There's a second person that's mentioned that.
Now, if you go to the top and go back and you listen to them, and we got to stop, we got to tie up more land and national things, and we got to get rid of any private ownership. They're against private ownership of any property. And we've had some good Americans, but they were still communists, but they wanted Soviet Socialist America, like Scoop Jackson. They were trying this land use bill for years, you know. Well, the land use bill is like this. We say it's in the public interest that I shouldn't own that property out here. We should take it for the public, because it'd be, in other words, let's stop private ownership. You know what I mean? Well, if there's anything even to intellectuals today that should be obvious.
Well, don't you think
that communism, the only reason, we don't even have to worry about the bomb if we'd stop helping them financially. You know, they'll fall flat of their como se llama, that's in Spanish, for your rear end. You know what I mean? But I mean, but we all were going to help them. See what I mean? And I'm not a member of the Birch Society. In fact, I don't agree with them on but one thing. One only, that we are a republic, not a democracy. That's the only thing we agree on. They rant about David Rockefeller and this Chase Manhattan Bank. You know, well, I mean, David Rockefeller is not a communist. But you know what? He don't want to go broke either.
Oh, no.
He don't want to go broke. And they have got, and yesterday's Wall Street Journal is a good example, and I said this 4 years ago, and now it's finally coming to the light. They talk about the Chase Manhattan Bank and David Rockefeller on these sour foreign loans. They're number three. Bank of America, number one, Citibank New York, number two, and Chase Manhattan is number three. Well, it's in yesterday's front page of the Wall Street Journal. They're having to write some of them down in the first quarter of the Bank of America. Why, they had a $380 million loss. You know? And I knew that Reagan wasn't going to go, we were going to do some good things, but he wasn't going to do an awful lot. The first 30 days he was in, when he put in Clausen, head of Bank of America, as head of the Export-Import Bank, those guys have got to protect their flanks, and the American taxpayer is subsidizing those bad loans. And that's David Rockefeller ain't a communist, but he don't want to go broke. And of course they made these communist bloc country loans at huge interest rates, but the American taxpayer is having to back it up, otherwise they'll go flat on there, you don't want. And then again, they're not without some justification, because our...
It is not a simple thing,
You know, it isn't a cut and dried, say, go to hell you. In other words, our State Department encouraged these bad loans and said, we'll stay behind you. And our State Department has been full of lefties. Ever since Roosevelt became in, you know? And if you don't get back in history a little bit, and you don't want to listen to something that I said happened in 1950, well, we just take something that happened in the last 4 years. This Robert White, the man that Carter put in as ambassador to El Salvador, and all the mess in El Salvador was created by the American government and Robert White. We said, you will have communism, you will have socialism down there, or else.
You just left them alone.
You're going to have socialism, you know? And this Robert White, when Reagan got in, he's still career state. They got him out of there, and he's frankly without assignment, but he's still career state. He's been running around our campuses making speeches about the right-wing death squads in El Salvador. last June, he was making one of them tirades at a Senate hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these people that he has been naming by name showed up at that Senate hearing with a battery of attorneys, and he is, Robert White is career state, so he's a part of the United States government. He showed up with a battery of attorneys and threatened Mr. White and the United States government with a multi-billion dollar lawsuit for libel.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. White said, my information has been wrong. Now he's an out. The Wall Street Journal, a thing back when Carter was president, interviewed him
mm-hmm.
on the editorial page. And right beside they wrote an editorial, and they literally called him an out-and-out communist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
so we've got, he's mm-hmm. the guy that went over in South Korea to get, so they could push the police and to push them around. He was in that group, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so we've sired a lot of our own troubles. One of the things that bothers me is, and I made a list of many, a good number of years ago, and I, like I say there, I have to concede there is a good politician occasionally,
mm-hmm.
there is an honest media person occasionally, and there's some fine school teachers, but I made a list of six enemies of this country. The politician. We will spend and elect, if it destroys the country, as long as I'm elected, that's all that's important.
Oh,
we'll appropriate the money to take care of me, you know what I mean? Okay, that's the politician. Number two is the media. We will slant the news to fit our political views, whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number three is academia.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care whether Johnny can read and write or become a useful citizen, hold a job. We want to teach him our political philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're concerned with. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's from kindergarten through college. And that's the trend, the National Education Association. Now they're trying to change their stripes a little bit, but I mean, that's where we've been. So we're now getting the kids that come out of those that we told them they didn't have to lift their parents in their 50s. Now we're getting their kids, and they say, now we can't control them. Okay. Next, we go to the Environmental Consumer Advocate Group, and they're all the same group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are going to stop this economic system in its tracks, and we're going to have some kind of utopia that we up here will tell them how to build a car, and we'll tell them how to build a this, and we'll control everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to think between now and next Wednesday some form of energy that suits the environmental people. There isn't one.
No, and I think it's a very difficult
okay. Number five is religion. Organized religion, the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church, all of them, are marching hand in hand with communism throughout the world. All the heads of that, most of the heads of Ortega's government in Nicaragua are priests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our Catholic bishops here running around saying that we, you know what I mean, have to redistribute our wealth. In other words, take those people with money away from them, give it to those that don't, and then of course, we won't have no economy at all. See?
Mm-hmm.
And that last year here on May 1, which is Communist Day, like our 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
why we had this solidarity parade right down Cushman Street here, and it was led by the Methodist minister here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's over in Russia now looking at things. So the number six is the world is the old wealthy. They get their money in tax exempts, and their incomes are assured for generation after generation. And they join the Sierra Club, and they try to help Cesar Chavez, but they're not going to, that black boy will still be in watch, but they'll still be in their summer home. You know? Oh, incidentally, Cesar Chavez, you know, is an out-and-out communist, is subsidized by the American government and the state of California to the tune of $1,000 every member. I got that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I mean, we are trying to destroy ourselves. Reagan is a glimmer of light. Right-wingism he lacks what it takes to do it. But it's a glimmer going in my direction. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We got this budget thing. There ain't no problems with that budget at all. It's just like the state of Alaska and the North Star Borough. And
how do you mean there's no problem with the budget? I mean, if we have such a great deficit, how can...
It's just as simple as all get out, sis. All we got to do is we can't, no way in the world can we justify $900 billion worth of spending in a year.
No, absolutely.
So, in other words, the thing is that you and I don't hear about it. And I've got at my home there, I've been cutting articles out of different publications. Some of them are 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to keep in that cadenza in my office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it finally got there. We're then in that closet, and there was no room. So I got this one big walk-in closet. It's got shelves and that I don't need, see. And I got all these, and they're not set. One of these days I'm going to take them. Some time off, and I want to get some big albums, and I'll segregate them like South America, Latin America, our energy crisis, so-called, the consumer advocate groups and all those, and then our dealings with Russia and Asia, and segregate them. Then I'll have a loose leaf thing where if you wanted one of those, we could take it right through the copier and you could have some of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I never got around to that. But I mean, we sit here and we, and this here, all we got to do is, the things that kills us is that the things that you and I are not supposed to know about. And I got an article several years ago out of two or three years ago out of the Wall Street Journal showing the off-budget items that you and I don't hear about. It's just like this Jordan from the National Urban League 3 years ago was threatening the Congress and blackmailed them. You either give us more money or you're going to see some cities burn. Either give us some more scratch or we're going to burn some towns down. You know? That's blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
But the American public don't know where he got his money to make all this fly here and there. $8,700,000 federal grant.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Jackson, recently, mm-hmm. See? Why, he said it's only a bookkeeping, accounting disagreement. He stole about $10 million on that Operation Push, and some of it he gave to Qaddafi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Reagan didn't have the guts to bring it up during the election. He didn't have the guts because the blacks would say he's jumping on a black. I said, I got some of the best friends I got in this town are black.
Oh, yeah.
So I tell them, I said, I just want to know where the money went. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a black friend I got supported him either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know, this is some of the things that, you know, I and like I say, I can't change that. I've told people here in this borough, told my legal pad, I said, write me down 50 positions that's necessary in that borough. I want to look at it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think does change human nature?
What
do you think does change human nature?
What
do you think does change human nature?
Hmm?
What are the things that you think do change human nature? I mean, when the things you talk about are things that, if you got down to an individual level, what's wrong that somebody would go, say, for the easier way or for graft or for not being able to see clearly to work for living?
This thing here, we got here, everybody wants, I want my business to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to get bigger. That's a natural thing, see what I mean? So you put a guy over here running the borough, and the more, like here's a guy running this department, the more Indians he can get, the bigger happy he becomes. So each one of them, they never get enough money. You know what I mean? In other words, it's like something, one of my favorite people, and he's up in his goddamn post of magazine. No, but he's still writing very good articles, you know, Peter Drucker.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Had one yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about how the difference the Japanese operate their business than we do here.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Very good. But anyway, I read, there's one of his, it's 25 or more years old. He said, there ain't no bad causes, see.
Mm-hmm.
But every cause has to have more of the public money. And then finally he said, there will come a point if we don't change. That the middle class will revolt.
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Now, he said by the middle class, I'm going to define the middle class. They can mm-hmm. be millionaires in it. Mm-hmm. But the middle class is the people who produce the wealth. They're still, mm-hmm. here's a millionaire, but he's still getting expanding his factory.
Mm-hmm.
The old wealthy put it in, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sit back, see what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And
mm-hmm.
let the money take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the he's a goer. He's still producing wealth by producing jobs and
mm-hmm.
goods and
mm-hmm.
services, see what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And he said, finally, it'll come to the point that they'll just say, we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've
I
had
think
enough.
That's true, you see. I mean, I think that there are inherent truths in many different ways of thinking, and that's, I really agree
and
with that.
And, of course, this little thing here with, of course, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I normally vote Republican because I've not the George McGovern stripe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They've made themselves a party of the special interests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they line up here with the homos and all them, and we're going to give you your rights and all this stuff. I mean, you know, there's a passive point of common sense. But anyway, this stealing in the state government here and whatnot, old Dishner and all of them, that's if you, old Alex Miller and all, it's the same bunch of bandits. Same bunch of bandits was stealing from the territory when I came here 31 years ago. Same bunch of bandits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so we make a big do about this building over mm-hmm. here. I mean, it's been going on so long,
yeah.
And it's the same bunch of bandits got their finger in the pie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And the big bandits aren't going to get caught this time anymore.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Sheffield.
I run into that Dishner character when I first came here. I didn't have any dealings with him, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't intend to, but I mean, you know.
No,
but
I
it's
don't.
The same bunch of bandits. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what were things, when you were very sad to leave South America, what year did you leave South America?
I left there at the end of 53.
Yeah. It's probably a very difficult time for you to, because you liked South America,
obviously. I liked Caracas.
Yeah.
You know, I like Caracas. I've been there quite a while. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we had a. Of course, this will never be again on the face of the earth. See, we didn't. Whether it makes me a bad American or not, what? There was 10,000 Americans living in Caracas at that time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you with a nice sidewalk. It was not, it was because of the oil industry. It was a very expensive place to live. And our living costs were more than they were in Fairbanks.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, but, you know, we had, we worked hard. But at the end of our day, we had, we went here with this group to have dinner and whatnot. And, and a lot of close friends. And they all left too, so, you know, but anyway, it was not that tough. I mean, I was past 40 and I hadn't really in my adult life lived much under the American flag.
Ah, yeah. Did you go, how young were you when you went to Venezuela then?
Oh yeah, I'm grand somatic, yes. I had to lie about my age to get on it, you know what I mean?
Oh really? Oh that
well
yeah,
of course
yeah.
With $100 bill during the 30s you could buy this building, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So I had an outfit in New Orleans, get me the passport and a phony birth certificate and the whole nine yards, you know what I mean? Before I went down there. But anyway, no, I was, but, so I was here, I was in, and my wife was from Arizona, and I had met her there, I'd met her folks, I, and so I, she was tired of living in a foreign country. I mean, she, of course, she hadn't had that much of it, about, what, 4 years or more, you know, a little more than 4 years. So, so the Alaska thing was my idea, and I came up first, and then I decided we'd try it, and then she came up, and that's about the size of it. I mean, we didn't think we, she didn't think that she would ever like this at all. And then at the end of about 3 years, she just loved it. And she didn't want to ever live anyplace else.
And it gets to all of us that way.
But anyway, this was it, you know. And we had some, we had a lot of struggles, you know what I mean? In other words, we were trying to start a little business. And it was one step forward and two steps backwards for a long time. And at the end of 3 years, you look back and said, I think I've gained that much, but you weren't sure, you know. But it just, you know, kind of a can. But anyway, she was, of course, she was right there in that office. And so I'm doing, it started out that she's handling the paperwork and I'm doing the work. You know, in other words, and then later we had added people and then added these franchises we have, and we just got a one step at a time thing. But I can't do that anymore, but when I, until about 5 or 6 years ago, I could. I could work a full day there, and then go back at 6 o'clock and physically work until 2:30 in the morning. And I mean, physically really put out, and then come back at 8 o'clock next morning. Oh, I did this for years, you know. But anyway, I had a, we were so up against it that what I produced that 6 till 2 made the difference.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have any wages to pay out of that, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd done that for many, many years. Then I'd get behind, and then Sundays was my biggie. Oh, I'd get down there 7 o'clock Sunday morning and go till midnight. Doors locked and the phone ain't ringing. See what I mean? Really, if I'm what I'm behind, I'd catch up. See? And so,
do you think that people these days, a lot of people, you know, these are general statements, but do you think that a lot of people are just afraid of hard work, or just have no idea what hard work is, or don't feel that they, or don't understand that working hard is part of the joy of life?
Yeah, you know, I always couldn't understand it. Something, you know, like being able to produce with my hands.
Wonderful.
You know what I mean?
And
I was somewhat by God gifted with a lot of skill with my hands, you know? And my many things that I do, not all of them, but I was gifted by God that most everything I do with my hands, that I'm ambidextrous. It doesn't make any difference which hand.
Oh, gosh, I love you.
And I, in my later years, this really, when we were not, some of our things that we don't do very much now because of different things in the economy. We're not running many trucks now because of this deregulation. It's kind of a madhouse out there.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not against it or for it. It's just the fact that until it stabilizes, I am going to go out and lose a lot of money. I'm going to just, they're running. They've got two rigs now running some loads of crude oil, and that's the first in a month and a half when they get parked. And when they get done this week or about Monday, I guess, I don't know, about next Wednesday they'll be done. Well, they know it'll be parked again. But if it's to the loft, we ain't going to operate. But anyway, all these years, and here I run out here and we got a well or something on one of them head racks or something, you know? Well, you know, our guys in the shop work on automobiles and that heavier steel, they can weld, but they don't handle it well. I go down here to somebody's welding shop and I got to wait, and then I get, maybe he don't do a good job. And he said, well, that's done the best we could to try to get you on the road. I mean, you know. So I did it myself. And as I got older, that being ambidextrous really worth something, because I'm holding a stinger with my right hand, and finally my hand gets a trembling, and I can't hold the arc. Then I just switch hands.
Oh, boy.
And then when this one starts to tremble, I switch hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in other words, it didn't make any difference which hand, see? And, but I don't think that a lot of guys, and I think my son is a good, fine young man. He doesn't have any skill with his hands.
Yeah.
And I think that he'll miss something in life that I had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be a dolt to work with your hands. You can also think. But I also have a better understanding when I go through my shop whether this guy's up against something tough, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the other thing is, it's been kind of a satisfaction to me that some things I did real well, and I could, kind of shrunk a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know?
Mm-hmm. What are things in life you're especially proud of? What are things that really made you happy in life? A few things.
Oh, I think what's made me happier probably is that if I have some project to put together and I do it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That building up there, I designed that building 10 years before we built it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was my own contractor, and it went together like I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite an accomplishment with me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah, I can really understand that. Yeah.
You know, in other words, I didn't personally lay the blocks. I got a van in here, and I'm supervising, and I see that we got, they all are nice and true, and we got the right amount of grout in there, and the right amount of steel in there, and the right amount of bond beams, and, and it went according to the way I planned it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of satisfaction out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had dinner with a man last night that's one of the big wheels with Toyota. And he had lost his wife 5 years ago, and I lost my wife 3.5 years ago. And he had read something I've never read that. He said it takes you about, for every year he was married, it takes you, you know, he said it takes, if it's over 30 years, then you got 6 years before you're over it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, easy. Mm-hmm.
And so I was 33 years, and his was 35. And he said, maybe I never understood that, but I think that, after losing my wife, that I keep thinking of things that I didn't do right with my marriage.
Boy.
You know what I mean?
I know, but we all do that. You know.
You know, I think if I'd have done this differently, and I think this was wrong, and I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but you know, you do the best you can when you're faced with the situation.
So I think that, but as far as satisfaction, the fact that I plan something and I do make it come together, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if it don't, and I haven't been that good, I mean, I think my batting average is about 400. About 6 things I've tried didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and baseball, that gets you in the Hall of Fame. In business, it ain't. You're not standing too tall. I do know that, and my wife had that too, that we get into something and it ain't working, we're was real stubborn, and we'd keep hanging in there if it did work. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that you anything you can't give up easily.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to. I think, and I'm with her, I think if I'd have spent more time on some of my planning,
mm-hmm.
and less time worrying about world affairs, that probably financially we would have been better off.
But you have enough, probably. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't, I would imagine that there's a limit beyond which, other than the excitement and the stimulation of making it, that you don't...
Well, I don't, of course, I don't like, I don't live.
Yeah.
I live very simply,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Big house on the hill and all that. I live in a mobile home right there on that property,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm just happy to climb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and I have, I don't do without anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, if I would need something, I go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, living up in a $300,000 home, and I've got this and that. And the guy has got the $200,000 condo in Maui and all. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I have that home in Tucson, but then that was really bought for a different purpose. It was bought. It was bought this way. My wife's folks were not wealthy, but they were wealthy by this. The times they were living,
mm-hmm.
and they made every financial mistake a person could make.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law ended up living in a little old apartment, not as big as this area,
mm-hmm.
not much bigger. From here was that wall,
mm-hmm.
and a very bad part of Tucson. And so my wife and I had talked about this. We're going to end up finally having to get her a place to live. So we went to Tucson, and
mm-hmm.
we went up in the foothills in a nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big palatial mansion, but
mm-hmm.
a nice home, a nice neighborhood. And put our furniture in it, and we moved her in there. So you think of Jeannie's, and she's this funeral. I was down there in April. I mean, she had a sister at that funeral who was 93 in real good state of repair. And Mildred was only 78 when she died. But anyway, we thought, well, that'll be take care of her the rest of her life. Well, I have that home. Just
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It wasn't planned that way, but there it sits, you know.
Well, what are things you want to do out of your life now? I know that since your wife is gone, it probably doesn't seem as sparkling in the things you wanted to do. But what do you have?
Literally about all I enjoy. I put in
enjoy working.
A 60-hour week at least, and I
mm-hmm.
enjoy that. I get a little tired, like. These companies represent. They send some big wheels up, and it ends up you have to go to dinner and whatnot, and that's 10 o'clock or 11 or 12 o'clock before you get home. And that evening plus the day sometimes gets a little long for me. Literally, I don't think of anything. I want to get where I can. I'm a little tired right now. I'd like to get a little more rested, and I want to spend some more time trying to learn how to play a piano.
Play the piano. Yeah.
But I haven't gave it any attention uh-huh. since the first of the year because we started some new businesses, and they've required a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
of thought and a lot of the paperwork, and it has been the merry-go-round's been too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting it, it's not starting to come together,
mm-hmm.
and I want to spend more time trying to practice on the piano, and I'd like to play the damn thing someday.
Mm-hmm. You probably will.
But anyway, I have one more thing that I got in mind. I had two things in mind, and we, in one of our companies, we represent part of General Motors, AC Delco. Well, anyway, that's a division of General Motors,
mm-hmm.
and I used to work with that company, of course, years ago. But one of their people came up here, one of their executives, and come up here to look this thing over for a day, and he got so intrigued he stayed a week,
mm-hmm.
and we had enjoyed him very much, very sharp man. But I told him I had one thing in mind that I'd planned, and my wife and I had planned that, had she recovered,
mm-hmm.
that we wanted to go leave here sometime in February. And go, we were married in Caracas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only think of about four people that we would still know there, that I know I would know, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that would know me, you know. We want to go spend a week in Caracas and then go down to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and, yeah. and spend a week or 10 days there because the guy used to share an apartment, he lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy from GM told me, he said, don't do it. He said, you had your feelings hurt when you left, but you go there now and they can't do all these things about some Americans. So he said, you work over here in this company, they got a plant there, they demo you. That's where our school used to be, see? And said at the end of your day, a chauffeur takes you across town to a walled-in compound. There ain't no going down the sidewalk to phase like you used to do. He said, you're going to stay in that compound to let chauffeur pick you up in the morning. Said you would hate it.
Yeah, awful way to live.
So, in other words, I passed that one up. The other thing I've had in mind, and this I will do that this year, next year, I've had different relationships with different parts of the world. Certain places, and I wouldn't know anybody there. I'd just like to see what it looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to pick up a new car in Portland, one of the brands we sell, and there's some places in Southern Oregon. I just want to go by and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
In Northern California, and here is a place that used to be, the Chevy dealer there. I know not the same people anymore, but I just go by there and see what
mm-hmm.
it looked
mm-hmm.
like. A little nostalgia trip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably take me 30, 40 days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I, besides learning, I want to get to where I can have a little. I don't mind my day. I like my day. I talk to people all day, and I enjoy people.
Mm-hmm. I can tell that, Jim. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I would like to get to where I could have a little more time on the piano and where I can concentrate on it more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether I'll do this or not. This is just kind of a thing we've been thinking of. We end up with this house, so what are we going to do with it? We're going to sell it, I guess. But anyway, my son and I have been talking about this, and this is what we probably are going to do with it. We got some real good friends here that's been friends and whatnot for a long time. We have to be sure that we coordinate it where there's different times, of course, but. Say, here is Wayne King out here in Maryland. You know, they'd like to go out of here for 2 weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a car off of our used car lot, one that we go through the shop, be sure it's good, and we're going to put it at Carport.
Mm-hmm.
We got a security system and all this stuff, and mm-hmm. the phone's hooked up, and the lights are hooked up, everything's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The yard service takes care of the yard. So we let maybe our office manager and husband go down and spend 2 weeks in
there. Nice idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's somebody else, not necessarily an employee, a real fine friend for 25 years. When I get out of here, well, all I got to do is go to the airport, call the security people, tell them they're on their way out there, take a cab to the house, car's in the carport, the keys in the kitchen drawer there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get to leave, they turn the security system back on, lock everything up, call a cab.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to airport. So they got two cab fares and an airplane ticket, see?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that I might go down there maybe in February or something and spend a couple weeks myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's a good jumping off point for other places, too.
Huh?
It's a good jumping off place.
Yeah.
I was just
but down I, but there. I, but mm-hmm. that's what we, but I might go down there, and then my son, he likes to play golf, and
mm-hmm.
and we're right on the edge of that Rio Vista Golf and Country Club,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It takes going around a mile to get to the front entry, but I mean, I think you're about on the 15th green over there, mm-hmm. at the edge of it,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, I thought I might spend a couple weeks there in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
The money's been spent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what the heck is it cost? Let's see, the utilities on minimums and the security thing and the taxes. And
well, it doesn't matter if it's something
it runs you about $100 a month,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so a little over $100 a month. So it's, I think that I might like to spend a couple of weeks there once in a while, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't gain you nothing if you sold it. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've thought about that, and I've got old Lockery Oden from Goodyear.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of friends with Goodyear that he knows through the years that are in Tucson, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, him and his wife like to go there and spend a couple of weeks in whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just be sure you don't get too couples at the same time.
Right.
You know?
But very nice.
And in other words, but anyway, Harry and his wife go down there and spend a couple weeks with son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very good idea. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that bothers me. Every time I see one of my friends retire,
mm-hmm.
then about 6 months later, I'm going to a funeral.
I know, boy.
But anyway, you keep thinking about every day of what you're going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my sister, she gets mad at our mother. She's 97 now. And I said, the only reason she's still living is because she's got so damn many things she hasn't got done. She can't die yet because she hasn't got this done yet.
Mm-hmm.
See what
you
I mean?
You feel the same way about you, right?
Yeah, you know, in other words, I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hard man, and she's got hard to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but she's got to get this done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to, but I would like to get to where I'm a little more relaxed and,
mm-hmm.
And I'd like to spend maybe out there in Arizona, maybe a couple of 3 weeks in the winter once in a while, and I'd let, we got an employee here, been there 12, 13 years, you know, and they'd like to take a trip. All they got to do is wait for a super saver, and they got a plane
mm-hmm.
ticket and two cab fares.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty cheap vacation,
pretty
you know?
Nice, yeah, you know? That is. Mm-hmm.
And it isn't a huge home, but it's a nice...
Oh, well, it doesn't matter, yeah.
No, it's a nice home in a nice neighborhood. It's, mm-hmm. Tucson is laid out that here's A Mountain. The
mm-hmm.
further north and west of there you get, the higher the houses get.
Mm-hmm.
The further south there, the cheaper they get.
Mm-hmm.
That's been that way since you started this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's up in the, around the corner there. And, oh, man, on that north side, then that's where them horse country, where them million-dollar homes mm-hmm. are, and they're all 3 acres and all that stuff. It ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up there where, it is in a goddamn nice neighborhood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up in the foothills. And you can stand there in the front yard and look down at St. Mary's Hospital and the University of Arizona
mm-hmm.
and see it, from the top.
So you
of
don't
hill.
Have any plans to retire, really, or to...
Oh, no. I don't have any plans to go sit in a rocking chair or join a elderly citizens group where we play dominoes and,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think what keeps you so... so healthy and so, you know, is that one must work and use their mind all the time.
What's that?
I think it's so important that one use one's mind and work through life. And it's very hard to get this across to people that work is a joy and think and
thinking
is a joy.
Yeah.
But I see that that's how you sort of lived your life.
I get sometimes, and I don't understand them, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand them. But here's a guy, he can't wait till he retires. You know, and I don't know what in the... I was thinking of this in this home in Tucson. My mother-in-law passed away, and I had a real... got real upset with my in-laws
mm-hmm.
over some things, and that shouldn't let that bother me. But anyway, I'm sitting there after all this is over, and I'm trying to get somebody to come and put a security system on this thing. I didn't thought about not doing it. Number one is the people I bought that from, the widow I bought it from, she couldn't, just like I couldn't in my house, she couldn't live there after her husband died.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't get rid of it. But about 4 years or five before he died, well, they'd went someplace and somebody broke in her house. So they'd spent $7,000 for security gates
mm-hmm.
over the windows, and it's a brick house, you know, the walls that thick in it. But anyway, I mean, these security gates, and then the deadbolts, and the security lock, and then the wood door, and I mean, it's really got, but I had an addition to that, a regular closed circuit
mm-hmm.
system
mm-hmm.
put in. But I'm down there in that house, sitting there in a living room with a telephone book, the yellow pages open, I got a legal pad here, and I'm writing down these people I'm calling, and then if I got results,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get somebody to come and put the security system in, somebody to come and change all the locks, somebody to fix one of the doors that had some work
mm-hmm.
on it, and little odds and ends.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to do something day after tomorrow in Tucson,
or
a week
yeah.
from Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And a son of a gun, if I didn't get, I got to thinking, I'm sitting there, what if I didn't, if I was retired and I'm sitting in this house and I didn't have all these people to call,
mm-hmm.
what in the hell would I do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'd go bonkers.
Mm-hmm. I think people do. I think that's the problem. I think
now you go down
do.
Here to one of the senior citizen mm-hmm. centers and so you sit there and... and discuss your lumbago with his lumbago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And so I just got to thinking, I wouldn't work for me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm very much part of the work ethic as well. I mean, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I believe in working because I think it's what keeps you healthy. And so I'm with you. I could never see retired. But
yeah.
Being a painter or a writer, you know, you can go on forever.
Yeah.
Do you think in part that's because you somehow managed to get into work that you love? I mean, in your life you've done the work you wanted to do?
Oh, I don't know whether it would say what you wanted to do would be the word. The things that I was naturally skilled at, you had a certain amount of pride that you was doing it well. Maybe I would have liked to have been able to do something else, but then, I mean, this I had the ability to do, and I did it. Some things with my hands I did quite well. See, so there was a little bit of satisfaction in saying that, oh, I don't know whether, say there might be 1,000 guys better than me, but you always go the idea that I'm the best.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? In other words, I'm the best. And I think that we go through this with my son. You don't have an argument with him on this, but we go through it with employees. And I think the one thing that we have in employees, and we just went through it with some people and had to get rid of some people because of this, in this new business we started last year. And that is enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know, enthusiasm. You come in here to buy a part, and the guy said, well, what do you got there? And, well, he said, well, here. Well, we got one of those. No enthusiasm. No enthusiasm. But it takes enthusiasm. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it's essential. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of times. I've been working physically, and I thought, good God Almighty, look at that stack. I'll be glad when these are done. You know what I mean?
But then
again. But I mean, that's just a lot of hard work there. See? But but I still try to do each one well. You know. I don't. You know.
Do you think Alaska afforded more opportunity than you would have had in any other part of the country?
I don't think it did.
No.
I think this is the toughest place in the world to make it. I don't regret having came. I don't regret being here. But I think I would have went twice as far if I had picked Bakersfield or Fresno or you know what I mean?
I
think it went twice as far.
Why do you think people stay?
I don't know. Well, I think, of course, with me, after the first few years, and this is not literally the truth.
Yeah, we had so much investment.
Well, I mean, we put in that first retread plant. We were buried, $150,000 in it. And you had to dig it out, right? You can't call them people in that bank in San Francisco and tell them you changed your mind.
No, you really can't.
I decided I don't like to do this. It doesn't send me. You know what I mean? You put your name on a piece of paper and you're obligated.
And you're obligated.
Yeah, you know. I think you do have to live with yourself to live with your word. You know?
I think that's very important to have that feeling.
Yeah, you know, in other words, if I said it, well, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Let's being honest with myself, I think maybe a few times we hadn't been buried so deep that my wife and I would have said, the hell with this thing.
But you just can't give up in the middle.
No. The time you got unburied, then it's working and you're happy with it. See what I mean? You know, in other words,
Anything else you feel that you'd like to say? I mean, I think this has been a good interview and I can get a lot from this. Anything else you feel that's important that you sort of philosophically or...
What's this now?
Anything else you'd like to add? Oops, just a minute.